And the Bible reads, "Do not keep silent, O God of my praise, for the mouth of the wicked and the mouth of the deceitful have opened against me. They have spoken against me with a lying tongue. They have also surrounded me with words of hatred and fought against me without a cause. In return for my love, they are my accusers. But I give myself to prayer. Thus they have rewarded me evil for good and hatred for my love. Set a wicked man over him and let an accuser stand at his right hand. When he is judged, let him be found guilty and let his prayer become sin. Let his days be few and let another take his office." May the Lord add a blessing to the readers, hearers, and doers of God's most holy and divine word. Amen. Look at that third verse and that second clause on that third verse, and it reads, "And fought against me without a cause. In return for my love, they are my accusers, but I give myself to prayer." Amen. For a little while, I simply want to talk about haters. I simply want to talk about haters. Don't hang up on me now. Stay with me. We're going to break down categories of haters. We're going to give scripture about haters. And we're going to give scripture about how not to become a hater. And then we're going to deal with how to deal with haters. Amen. As Christians, we are to always be humble and never brag about anything. But there are some people, without you even bragging, who might be jealous of your achievements. Hating and bitterness is a sin, yes, and can be brought on by getting a new job, a promotion, buying a new house, buying a new car, relationships, and even something like giving to charity brings about haters. There are four types of haters. There are the one who criticize you and find a fault for everything you do out of jealousy. The ones who try to make you look bad in front of others are classified as haters. The ones who purposely bring you down so you won't succeed instead of helping you. And there are the haters who hate behind my back and your back, and destroy your good name with slander.
Yes, Lord.
Most of the times, they are the people that's closest to you.
Yes, Lord.
Amen. Next time negative people are around you and try to change what God has showed you for your own life, tell them, "No, I can't listen to you because God said it's already done."
Yes, Lord.
Don't you allow a hater to stop you from getting where the Lord would have you to be. And so watch it now. Watch it as we talk about haters. I want to give us a couple of reasons why people hate before we get in the text. Number one, you have something that they don't.
Come on now.
They need to put you down to feel good about themselves. They want to be the center of attention.
Come on, Bishop.
They are bitter about something. They lose sight of their own contentment.
Yes, Lord.
And they stop counting their own blessing and start counting the blessings of others.
Yes, Lord.
Haters will see you walk on water and say, it's because you can't swim.
Come on.
In other words, nothing great that you do will move a person to applaud you because they are haters.
Yes, Lord.
As we look at our text here, Psalm 109, Psalm 109 was penned simply by King David. Mm-hmm. And the title of the psalm in the Bible is a plea for judgment of false accusers. But I use haters. Watch it if you will. Now, Psalm 109 does not tell us what occasion it was when this Psalm 109 was penned. Mm-hmm. Whether it was Absalom, David's son, that rebelled against his father, or whether Saul was trying to kill him, the Bible does not tell us why this psalm was penned. But what it do show us is that David had haters and false accusers at this time, and he did not do any wrong at this time here in this account of Psalm 109. Mm-hmm. And so it is a psalm of lament. Lament means to weep, to cry, or to mourn. Mm-hmm. And it pays particular attention to the psalmist's enemies. As a result, this poem may also be regarded as a imprecatory psalm. Not that word imprecatory psalm. It simply means house of praise. Go, Pastor Thomas. It simply means that it is a psalm that David was innocent at that time. He didn't do no wrong, and he was asking God to get his enemies. Mm-hmm. Amen.
Yes, Lord.
And so as we look at this psalm, the structure of it is, it's a call for God not to be silent in the midst of the attack from the psalmist's enemies. Look what he said. Mm-hmm. Do not keep silent, O God of my praise. God is calling, or David rather is calling, for action on behalf of God. Mm-hmm. In other words, David is asking God to do something.
Yes, Lord.
God, David is saying, I'm trying to praise you, God. I'm praising you. And he said, don't keep silent, O God of my praise. Mm-hmm. And he's telling him why, because he says in verse 2, for the mouth of the wicked and the mouth of the deceitful have opened against me. They have spoken against me with a lying tongue.
Yes.
We're going to deal with that in a minute. We're going to deal with that in a minute. But watch it now. Watch it if you will. Fought against me without, watch him if you will. Fought against me without a cause. So what David is simply saying is, he declares his innocence and insists that his enemies have rewarded his pride with evil, his love with hatred. Mm-hmm. So in other words, these enemies that have sprung up or have come up in this Psalm 109 suggest to me, by looking at the text, looking at this psalm, like this were not people that David did not know.
Mm-hmm.
These were people that he showed love to.
Yeah.
That he loved. That he helped.
Mm-hmm.
That he prayed for them. That he tried to comfort them.
Mm-hmm.
And these same enemies now have sprung up in Psalm 109. And David is asking God to come to his rescue and deal with his enemies. I tell you now, we have to look at it, because anytime there is a pandemic, especially the one that we're in, God does not just drop stuff in the earth realm. I hear people, I even hear Christians that are spiritually ignorant, that have been in the Lord a while. I hear people simply saying, well, oh, it's going to be all right. It's going to pass over in the morning. No, my baby, it is going to be all right. It will pass over one day. But what we need to do is see why God is sending this pandemic.
Uh-huh.
Number one, Could it be like David? Could it be I'm minding my own business? I'm trying to be about my father's business and people hating me because they're watching my success and your success, and they're trying to pull us down. They're running down to the courthouse line. They're running down to the judge's chamber line. They're picking up the phone, talking on the phone line. They're meeting in secret meeting line, trying to pull us down. So what is it? Why are we in this pandemic? Could it be just a whole bunch of haters, amen, that's hating on you and I? Watch the word, if you will. Watch the word. Watch the word, if you will. Watch the word. And so now, David is saying that he tried to love on these people before they became his enemies. Mm-hmm. Look what he said. Look what he says. He said, and they fought against me without cause. Mm-hmm. In return for my love, they are my accusers. But I give myself to prayer. Amen. Amen. Now, let me deal with this for a minute. David said, and they fought against me without cause. First of all, they had no just cause and no reason to fight against David.
Yes, Lord.
I believe they were jealous. They were haters because of his success, because of his elevation by God, because he had messed up in front of his enemies. He had plenty of money. He had everything at his disposal. Yes. Amen. And I believe, I simply believe, that they seen him mess up. And they're wondering, why in the world would God tell his boy, say that he's a man after my own heart, after all that messing up he did, and he's more blessed than we are. He's in the king's seat and we not. And we doing pretty good, but it look like God not even paying attention to us or doing nothing for us. How can this be? Because the Bible say that the Lord reigned on the just as well as the unjust. Yeah. And he did just what God instructed him to do. With all of his wrong,
yes,
he still was a man God said after his own heart.
Yes,
so I see this in the text. I see this in the text. David is talking to God about his enemies. He's saying that they fought him without cause. In return for my love, he tried to show love to them. Now they became his accusers.
Mm-hmm.
But he said, I give myself to prayer. Now, let me back up for a minute. David, you have to understand, was a mighty king.
Mm-hmm.
David was a skillful warrior.
Mm-hmm.
David was a true soldier,
yes,
in God's army. David killed a lion and a bat with his bare hands. David probably could have snapped his enemies in two. But David said, you did all this to me. But he said, that's why I tell everybody we have to be careful now how we come at certain people, because certain people, amen, the Lord have saved, but some people that were once of the world, amen, knew how to get down with it and fight, amen. But we just, not that we are weak. David said, I'm not weak. But David said, instead of me tearing you up, instead of me killing you,
yeah,
instead of me doing away with you with my bare hand, he said, but I give myself to prayer for my haters. For my haters. That's what he did. In other words, he turned it over to the Lord. I believe David read that scripture somewhere in the scroll. I believe he read that scripture where he said, the Lord said, vengeance is mine, said the Lord.
Come on.
Amen.
Amen.
And so now, David did not fight his enemies physically. He did not fight them, amen, trying to criticize them or try to hate on them for no reason. But David made a valid point or valid claim, because David said, they fought against me, God, without a cause, and I tried to love these people, and now they become my accusers. But he said, I give myself to prayer. And so look at this here. Look at this. Look at this. Look at this. Look at this. We're talking about haters. And so now, before we move on, I want to look at something. It's things that haters do. According to Proverbs 24-26, a hateful person disguises himself with his speech and harbors deceit within. When he speaks graciously, don't believe him. For there are seven abominations in his heart, though his hatred is concealed by deception. His evil will be revealed in the assembly. In other words, if a person is a hater, you have to be careful and watch him now, because a person will act like that they love you, or they're trying to be close to you to help you, but really, all the while, they're trying to be close to you to try to find out your secrets so they can destroy you, so they can bring you down. Mm-hmm. But I love how the man full of wisdom, Solomon, David's son over there in Proverbs, he said, but don't worry about it, because his evil will be revealed where? In the assembly. Mm-hmm. Wherever y'all assemble it, soon and very soon, he or she will get exposed for who they are, if they are right or if they are for wrong. And so we don't have to fight our enemies physically, but just watch our enemies and ask God to give us spiritual discernment, so you and I can discern whether they are an enemy or whether they are a friend. Amen.
Come on.
And so watch the word, if you will. So watch the word. So we're talking about haters now. Another thing haters will do, according to Psalm 41 and 6, when someone comes to visit, he pretends or she pretends to be friendly. He thinks of his ways or her ways of how they can defame you. And when he or she leaves, then they turn right around your back and slander you. Mm. Amen. And so we have to be careful and watch out for our haters.
They'll bring a bone and they'll take one.
Amen. They'll bring a bone and they'll take one too. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Another thing we have to be careful and watch our haters, because their speech is flattering. Mm-hmm. And so now we have to watch them now. We have to watch them. We have to watch them. And this is what David is saying. Many times haters hate for no reason. According to Psalm 38 and 19, the Bible says, many have become my enemies without cause. Many, those who hate me without cause, are numerous. So now, it's not just one person hating you, but you know how they do. They get into a clique.
Uh-huh.
They get into a wolf pack.
Yes, Lord.
And they form up hatred and try to hunt you down and try to catch you in a trap and try to make you fall so you can lose everything you have so they can sit back and laugh at you. That's haters. Amen. So look at David now. So why David? And so David said, thus they have rewarded me evil for good and hatred for my love. Then he said, set a wicked man over him and let an accuser stand at his right hand. So look at David here. Set a wicked man over him. Here the psalm takes a decisively negative tone. The description of the wife of the enemy becoming an impoverished widow and the children becoming like beggars seems to be harsh. Mm-hmm. But David prayed, he did not just do like you and I. If we break a fingernail, somebody step on our feet accidentally bump into it, we want to kill them. No, that's not just cause. David is saying, or he prayed these imprecatory psalms or prayers, is because he literally was not doing these people no harm that tried to kill him or tried to slander his good name or try to bring him down. David was about his father's business. So at this point in time, David wanted his enemies to leave him alone. In other words, I'm not bothering you. In other words, if you don't like me, you can't stand me, just leave me alone. Just go about your business, because it's a dangerous thing to fool with a man without cause. God frowns on that.
Uh-huh.
God even saying in heaven, now I understand why he did or she did what they did. God is not condoning it, but at least he understands, because he feel the way we feel, because he was wrapped up in flesh in the man called Jesus. So the same human emotion that I feel and you feel, he's already felt. So he know how we feel. God can deal with that a little bit. He can understand it, even though he don't condone sin, but he'll understand why we did what we did. But David is saying some people just hate you for no reason. They don't like to hear your name called. They don't want to hear you on the radio. They don't want to see you on TV. They don't want to see you buy a house, buy a car. They don't want to see you do nothing that's good. They just hate you without a cause. That's a hater.
Yes, Lord.
And so that's why David prayed these imprecatory psalms, these prayers. Because David wanted his haters, like the world vernacular, say, to back up off me. Huh. Amen. Leave me alone. I'm not doing you anything. Amen. And so look at David, if you will. Then he says, when he is judged, let him be found guilty. And let his pride become sin. Let his days be few, and let another take his office. However, the psalmist directs these strong requests to the Lord. He does not actually take the sword into his own hands. He may feel compelled to vent his anger in words, but the psalmist understands that vengeance itself belongs to the Lord.
Amen.
And when he said, now watch this, now you have to be careful, watch this. When he said, let another take his office, you have to go back and look at it. He was simply quoting Acts 1 and 20. He was talking about Judas Iscariot. When Judas sold Jesus for 30 pieces of shekels, he was quoting Acts 1 and 20. And whenever he hung himself, he was saying, let another take his office. God had removed him from office because he betrayed the Lord Jesus and he took himself out.
Amen.
So that's what he was quoting when he's saying, let another take his office. Amen.
Amen.
And so now, as we continue to look for a little while, give me a minute, for a little while dealing with haters. Another thing haters will do for no reason. Haters will, those who hate you without reason may outnumber the hairs of your head, and many are the enemies without cause. Those who seek to destroy you a force to restore what I did not steal. That's Psalm 69 and 4. Another thing, Psalm 109 and 3. They encircle me with words of hate and attack me without cause. So you see, we have to be careful that we don't fall in this category.
Amen.
And watch this, if you will. Now let me help us. Let me help us on how to not to become a hater. Number one, 1 Peter 1 and 2 says, therefore, rid yourself of every kind of evil and deception, hypocrisy, jealousy, and every kind of slander. Like newborn babies, thirst for the pure milk of the word, so that by it you may grow in your salvation. In other words, Peter says, if we are children of God, or if we are in the assembly of God, where we are born again, baptized believers, Peter saying we need to put these things away from us. We can't store these things in our heart. He said, like a newborn baby, want milk, pure milk, that they may suck the milk, take the milk in and grow, and eventually get off milk. He's saying for us to take the word of God, that we may grow spiritually and grow more and more in our salvation, that we may learn more and more of God and be strengthened more in the word. In other words, get off milk and one day get on meat.
Yes.
In other words, grow up. Hmm. Put away all these evil kind of speaking and deception and hypocrisy and jealousy and slandering people for no reason. You don't even know them people, but you're talking about them because you heard somebody else say something about them. Go find out about them for yourself. You will say, you know what, I was wrong.
Hmm.
I listened to this person and that person. And you know, these are really good people. I shouldn't be doing that. I'm saved. I'm a child of God. I'm trying to grow more and more in God. Now watch something. Proverbs 14 and 30. It say, a heart of peace gives life to the body. But envy, if you envy of somebody what somebody have, or envy of their position, or envy of their possessions, but envy rots the bones. So in other words, you can have a beautiful shell on the outside.
You've been listening to Bishop Wayne Thomas of the House of Praise Full Gospel Missionary Baptist Church, located at 1439 England Drive here in Alexandria, Louisiana. For more information and service times, please call 318-664-6878. To send correspondence, and if this program has been a blessing to you, you may write P.O. Box 8325, Alexandria, Louisiana, 71306. This broadcast has been brought to you by Sinlai Moving and Delivery Service. Their phone number is 318-704-6187. Tune in every week at this same time for Bishop Wayne Thomas and the House of Praise Full Gospel Missionary Baptist Church, right here on KAYT and KQJO.
This is KAYT, Gina, Alexandria. This is Gospel Radio at its very best. 88.1 KAYT. Praising the Lord.
Welcome to the radio broadcast of Living Word Ministries. Living Word Ministries of Negative. Stay tuned and focused, and let words of life minister to you by our pastor, Altorio Holden Sr. At the end of the broadcast, contact information will be given to you. Here's our pastor.
When you have John chapter 2, there's a couple of things in this. It's just about two things I want to show you that I saw that I'm just anxious to share with you. And hopefully you'll receive and rejoice. Amen. And so I don't know how long it'll be here, but John chapter 2, when you have that and you're looking at verse 1, say, I have the word, and I'm ready to receive it. John chapter 2, verse 1 says, and the third day there was a marriage in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. And both Jesus was called and his disciples to the marriage. And when they wanted wine, the mother of Jesus said unto him, they have no wine. Tell somebody, they have no wine. Jesus said unto her, woman, what have I to do with thee? Mine hour is not yet come. His mother said unto his servants, whatsoever he said unto you, do it. And there were set there 6 water pots of stone, after the manner of the purifying of the Jews, containing 2 or 3 firkins apiece. Jesus said unto them, fill the water pots with water. And they filled them up to the brim. And he said unto them, draw out now and bear unto the governor of the feast. And they bear it. When the ruler of the feast had tasted the water that was made wine, and knew not whence it was, but the servants which drew the water knew, the governor of the feast called the bridegroom and said unto him, every man at the beginning doth set forth good wine. And when men have well drunk, then that which is worse. But thou hast kept the good wine until now. This beginning of miracles did Jesus in Cana of Galilee and manifested forth his glory. And his disciples believed on him. Amen. Amen, amen, hallelujah, amen. May God of the blessing those hearers and doers of his word, the grass wither, the flower fade, but the word of God stands forever, hallelujah. Want to use for a thought today, a topic, title or tag to the message that we're looking at today, they have no wine, amen, they have no wine. Thought comes from the third verse where it says, and when they wanted wine, the mother of Jesus said unto him, they have no wine. Amen. Amen. The Bible gives us this story of the first recorded miracle of Jesus. Who knows for sure whether he had already done some miracles? Who knows what he had already done in his life?